First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. If you'd like to write me at, send me an email, disagree. The art of enjoyment, of disagreement, debate, discussion, which is the heart and soul of talk radio, whether it's pre-taped and you listen to it or not. Live talk radio is also wonderful, but there are so many ways to get involved, and to interact. And in my case, you can just write me at Karen@KarenCataline.com. There are lots and lots of things at my website, KarenCataline.com as well. But I'm happy to hear from you. As you heard in the last hour, we have a disagreement. Oh my God, about abortion, right? We have a disagreement. It isn't that many years ago that every American, no matter what side of the aisle they were on, appreciated, understood, and revered the joy of living in a free country where people can disagree. People can debate, disagree, dissent. All of those things were allowed. And in a matter of a few short years, the government and all these agencies and so much of our apparatus, much of it unelected bureaucrats, have instituted a censorship institution where there are only certain things that are allowed, only certain opinions are allowed. It's very interesting, and you can identify a list. We all know the list. That's what's interesting. People have been made examples of. They've been debanked. They've been harassed. They've been the victims of lawfare, even if those laws, even if the charges were ridiculous, they still had to defend themselves somehow in court. And that is now a thing. As you know, with the former president, lawfare is now a weapon, along with so many other things that are weaponized. So it isn't that long ago when dissent and discussion were understood to be necessary for a free society, and that no communist, tyrannical tyranny, any kind of the ism, socialism, Marxism, communism, none of those can exist in an environment where there is free speech and the other 10 Bill of Rights, the First Amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the rights of individuals, which is kind of what I was talking about right before the break, the reverence for individuals and the whole idea that the majority making rules can create tyranny. And the only way to protect individual liberty and individual freedom, which is absolutely essential to a free market economy and to freedom itself, the only way to protect that is to protect the individual's rights to differ, to dissent, to disagree. Now, the horrible irony here is that the left in its incarnation in the 60s were absolutely the leaders on being different, on thinking outside of the box, on being a nonconformist, on marching to your own drummer, on not trusting anyone over 30. Now, the people under 30 today, they've been de-educated not to even know what liberals believed. Democrats actually believed back then, but they were back lecturing the rest of us on being a nonconformist, sex, drugs, rock and roll, anything goes. Don't tell me what to do. I'm a free person. They were short on personal responsibility and accountability, but they were very, very long on doing what feels right, right? Doing your own thing. That was one of the biggest things. Now today, again, as if somebody flipped a switch, these are the new tyrants. They don't just disagree with you, they ban you. They don't just say, okay, I'm going to try and persuade you to take an experimental shot, which now many, many people only 4 to 5 years later are finding out was not only not effective and not, but not safe. We were told it was safe and effective. It was neither. It wasn't effective. It wasn't a vaccine. Whatever the motive that happened, people thought they had a right to have control over their own bodies. I don't know, something about pro-choice, right? Pro-choice. I can decide what I put in my own body, whether I drink mineral water or whether I'm a vegan or whether I choose to use only homeopathic remedies. All of a sudden, it all went out the window. But that's not the only thing that went out the window. What went out the window was respect for difference, respect for differences of opinion. So all of what they say about diversity, diversity, diversity. No, as I was mentioning before the break, diversity only means diversity of whatever group you have been tagged as. Okay, you are only diverse insofar as whatever group you can be identified with, usually based on the color of your skin, your ethnicity, your religion, all of the things that supposedly we had legislation, we had the civil rights movement to say that people couldn't do. Now, all of a sudden, all of those rules are being broken in a horrendous fashion by persecuting, prosecuting, and demonizing people of certain religions, of certain faiths, of certain colors, right? It is amazing that they can affect the exact opposite of what they claim to believe in by lecturing on the opposite. Whenever somebody on the left starts lecturing you about something that you know you're not guilty of, you got to ask yourself, what are they getting ready to do next? Anyway, I wanted to comment a little bit on something I saw a couple weeks ago, and it is relevant to what I'm talking about. And that is a very interesting guy on Substack. No, I'm not working for him. Don't know him. His name is Santiago Pliego. Santiago Pliego, and he has a Substack page. And he's coming up with new language, which I think is very cool, since the left continues to add language into our lexicon that only they know what it means. And then they dictate to us that not only do we have to know what it means, but we have to start using it, not just pronouns, but they're dictating language. When you dictate language, you dictate culture. Remember, Trump turned the tables on them when they used the term fake news. And as soon as Trump started using the term fake news on them, which is the right thing to do, they started hating that term. and stopped using the term fake news. Well, Santiago Pliego is coming up with a whole bunch of a couple of new terms that's worthy of your attention. One is called a vibe shift. And this is the uncharacteristic good news that we've been hungry for, starving for, a kind of a good news that hopefully can encourage people whose chins are down on the ground as to what's happening to this country. And you can only do so much of this until you're horrified. So Santiago Pliego talks about the vibe shift and how he believes that on a much larger scale than anybody can really comprehend, there's a vibe shift in this country where people are beginning to figure out that up is down, down is up. Everything is kind of backwards. Something's wrong. Something's not right in this country. And they're finding that out. And now people are getting stronger to realize that they're not alone. And people are discovering that they are feeling this vibe shift on a grand scale. There's more to it. So just go to Santiago Pliego at Substack.com and learn more. And write me an email, Karen@KarenCataline.com. Tell me what you think about all of that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have another great guest. Tell you about him when we come back on the Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Wireless connectivity is crucial for Americans. Smartphone technology, network speeds, and mobile services are key. But many people don't realize there's major value to be found in added customer benefits. T-Mobile is putting customers first with a new customer appreciation program. Experience VIP treatment with T-Mobile's Magenta status. New one-of-a-kind deals and experiences on nationally loved brands like hotels, rental cars, concerts, movie tickets, and more. Plus, discounts and freebies every week from T-Mobile, all at no extra cost. For T-Mobile, Cassie Slane.
With Magenta status, T-Mobile customers can now get sweet perks like 15% off across Hilton's 22 leading hotel brands worldwide and upgrades to Hilton Honors Silver. Free fuel top-off at Dollar or recharge at Hertz when returning your rental. $5 movie tickets every month and 25% off some of the hottest shows of the year.
Magenta status gives customers over $1,500 a year in extra value, all for just being T-Mobile customers. Sponsored by T-Mobile.
The Department of Transportation's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, or FMCSA, is now accepting applications for 5 federal grant opportunities that enhance commercial motor vehicle safety. Last year, more than $125 million in grants-funded initiatives were awarded by the program. Funding recipients were empowered to promote access to commercial driver's license programs, prevent human trafficking within the industry, conduct commercial motor vehicle safety-related activities, deploy innovative technology efforts, advance transportation safety research, and more. Together, we can significantly reduce serious injuries and deaths on our nation's roadways. Prospective applicants are encouraged to learn more about these grant opportunities and how to apply at fmcsa.dot.gov/grants. Applications are due by April 19th. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, and we are delighted to have with us founder of Wimkin Social Media. Despite being banned from Apple and Google Play app stores in January of 2021, and while being number one on both stores and after receiving multiple subpoenas by the House Select Committee on January 6th, Jason has grown Wimkin to over 9 million users. Can't wait to hear about that. We'll have to hear about that first. Jason Shepherd, thank you for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Thank you so much for having me, Karen. I appreciate it.
It is great having you. So give everybody kind of a thumbnail sketch of Wimkin Social Media and how it fits into this massive social media complex that we have in this country, good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah, unfortunately for us, since we've started, it's been mostly bad. But that's because the House Select Committee tried to shut us down, demanding every piece of information on every single one of our users, which we said absolutely not. We were banned by the app stores for 8 months. But what WMKN is, it stands for World Must Know Now, in honor of free speech. And it's built very similar to Facebook. We have all the features of Facebook. Really should be thought about Facebook meet Twitter / X. YouTube, because you can live stream to us. You can, upload up to 100 gigabyte videos. We're the only free speech platform out there with actual features. We even have a built-in messenger that's encrypted to where users can voice call and video chat. So really almost every single thing that's available on Facebook is available on WMKN. And it's been nothing but very difficult. You know, we got blamed for the alleged insurrection, and like I stated, we were banned from the app stores for 8 months. And then once we got back into the app stores, then cancel culture started happening. And then 2 months later, here came the House Select Committee demanding all that information. So,
And yet you're still here. We all see the kinds of charges being leveled at conservative groups of all shapes and sizes. What were they charging you with simply by opening a social media network?
Well, so essentially, I really think the term charge is pretty accurate, to be honest with you. They basically, and we're seeing this with the European Digital Services Act, we're seeing it with obviously the Restrict Act in the United States, but I think that's a good term. Basically, they're charging us with anything that goes against their narrative. You know, they don't like what's being put out there about the Biden administration. They didn't like the anti-vaccine comments, and they certainly didn't like, truth being spread, or at least people having their own opinion. So that's really where all this started with us. And, you know, nothing that we actually allowed on our platform goes against App Store standards, nor does it go against, any type of criminal statutes. So, that's all that we censor. We censor pornography, nudity, and anything that's, could possibly be criminal. So, when you do that, you're on their radar.
So would you call all of this harassment more than anything else? Because you're still operating, so you aren't guilty of any crime. So is anything still in litigation now, or are they backing off and allowing you to operate as a social media company?
Well, I do this every single time I'm asked that question. I knock on wood. So we haven't heard back from the House Select Committee since about January of 22. And I believe that they are done with us, but you just never know, because the level of desperation right now, running into, November, this coming November, it's going to be higher than you've ever seen. Obviously, any of us has ever seen. And we're seeing that with every single Trump indictment and how they're treating him. So we're always ready. We could just put it that way. But I do believe that the House Select Committee is done with us.
Yeah. I mean, everybody, just from the lowliest, whatever kind of person, I posted something about my dog who has cancer's 8th birthday. And Facebook censored it. I don't know why. Happy birthday to my dog was somehow pulled off Facebook. And we all know that. I mean, it's become part of the landscape, which is so contrary to everything America stands for. It's not ironic or not accidental, I guess, that I just finished a whole monologue on tolerance for dissent, disagreement, debate. Yeah, that used to be part of our DNA as Americans, and that's part of what's under attack. You're here, though, to talk about TikTok. The Senate is going to vote on banning TikTok, which is completely in line with what we're talking about here, because apparently a lot of people believe, and I believe, that it's a trap to get conservatives and other unsuspecting people to accept banning and censorship. What do you think?
So originally, when this came out, if you recall, Trump said this is a national security threat, which I actually do believe that it is. There's no doubt about it in my mind that it is. But when he came out and said that, he had nothing but pushback from, you know, the left in every aspect, from, you know, mainstream media companies to Democratic politicians to just the left, you know, being out there, the LGBT community, and anybody who utilized TikTok, you know, the younger crowd. Now, if I'm not mistaken, they had 355 bipartisan votes to ban this. So if you think about how everyone's coming together on this, it seems like it's all about control. And you're right. I think just like they did with Patriot Act, this will be Patriot Act 2.0.
Yep.
Yes, I do believe so. I really do believe so. Yeah. And, you know, we're seeing that now, too. They threw this legislation in to the foreign aid bill. I mean, and that wasn't supposed to happen. It was supposed to be separate. And now there's going to be different deadlines. So, yeah, it's very suspect the way they're doing these things. And, you know, a lot of people still don't even know about Patriot Act. So, and that's, you know, very long time ago, and it took 9/11 to actually get that written. So people really need to be aware of these things.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I hate to be so cynical, but when you see the left joining with what is, used to be Republicans, you should be afraid, be very afraid when everybody is on the same page about something, but the people that are on the same page are the usual suspects who have shown themselves not to be interested in freedom. Case in point, the former Senator Ken Buck, who was supposedly an extreme conservative, and then suddenly, as if on a dime, he flipped. He didn't flip on a dime. He was just waiting for the right moment to show us who he really was. And, you know, and he's one of the Bushy, Mitch McConnell, Mitt Romney kind of supposed Republicans. It's disturbing. We unfortunately have to wrap this up, Jason. Good luck to your social media company and tell everybody how they can get involved and participate in your freedom-loving social media network.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Everyone can find us, if they don't like apps, at wimkin.com. That's W-I-M as in Mary, K-I-N as in Nancy.com. And also, we are back in the app stores after winning our battle.
I love that you said, if you don't like apps, I just love that. There are actually people who don't like apps. Yay, team. Jason Shepherd, thank you so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show. We appreciate it. Well, we're moving right along. One of my favorites. He's part of an all-comedy radio. He used to be director of comedy. He's funny. He's informed. Al Parada will join us right after the break here on the Alan Nathan Show. Don't go away.
Remote work environments have given employees increased freedom and flexibility. With that comes a variety of security risks. With employees no longer tied to the office infrastructure, IT must securely manage remote employees' devices no matter where they are. A user's device can create an opportunity for hackers to breach an organization. That device must also easily connect users to IT resources so they can be productive. The Open Directory platform provider JumpCloud offers the solution for successful device management. JumpCloud VP Eric Brown.
With JumpCloud, you can manage your entire fleet, regardless of operating system or location, and create a scalable device management foundation. IT personnel can manage all types of devices from a single cloud console, and employees get to work on their preferred devices. JumpCloud helps you achieve compliance, monitor events, manage device data, enforce policies, patch machines, and more.
To learn more, visit jumpcloud.com.
In national health news, Waltham, Massachusetts-based Invivid has received emergency use authorization from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for its investigational monoclonal antibody for pre-exposure prophylaxis or prevention of COVID-19 in adults and adolescents who have moderate to severe immune compromise and are unlikely to mount an adequate response to COVID-19 vaccination. Invivid's Chief Executive Officer David Herring commented.
As we've seen lately, SARS-CoV-2 continues to spread and cause unacceptably high levels of illness, hospitalizations, and death. The threat from COVID is not over, especially for vulnerable populations such as the immunocompromised.
Studies have shown that moderately to severely immunocompromised people, such as organ transplant recipients and people with certain blood cancers, among others, may not have a strong immune response to vaccines. Monoclonal antibodies work differently than vaccines to provide protection against viral threats. This new investigational therapy has been authorized by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for emergency use only. It is not FDA approved for any use, and there is limited information about the safety and effectiveness of using this investigational therapy for prevention of COVID-19. It is not authorized for treatment and is not a substitute for vaccination in individuals for whom COVID-19 vaccination is recommended. For the Food and Drug Administration's letter of authorization and product fact sheets, visit this website, invivid.com. Once again, that's INVIVYD.com. The content in this report was provided by Invivid, Inc.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Ellen Nathan Show. We're plugging right along here. And I am very excited to speak once again. It's been a long time to talk to managing editor of The Stream. He was formerly the VP creative director of All Comedy Radio, Voice of America producer, Passion Arts minister at Living Faith Christian Church in Southern California. He's also co-author of the counterterrorism memoir, Hostile Intent, Protecting Yourself Against Terrorism. Too bad that's such a relevant thing we need to read today. Al Perotta joins us right now on the Al and Nathan Show. Hi, Al. Good to have you along.
Nice to be back. Nice to hear from you.
Yes. Well, you have co-written books with one of my favorite guests, and I just always am just unabashed in my appreciation for one of your colleagues, John Zemirak, and the two of you together are wonderful. So on the stream,
we're the Lewis and Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin of conservative commentary, I guess.
Isn't that great? You ought to do some because we need to laugh these days, Al. And you have such a background in I'm assuming you're the Jerry Lewis part, right? Are you?
We'll have to figure that one out.
Okay. Yeah. Get back to me on that.
Yeah, I guess I'm
get back to me, because who's the straight man? I want to know. On a serious note.
Come and watch with us, and you'll see that I'm the straight man, and he's the wacky one. He's a nutty professor.
Well, he's fun, and so are you. I mean, I revere conservatives. I have a show business background myself, and so we are getting hammered by the left in entertainment, Hollywood, movies, Broadway, all of that. And so any kind of entertainment we can put in. You know, I know people, myself included, who just don't even watch, don't want to watch movies that were made in the last, I don't know, 3 to 5 years. And it keeps going on from there, last 10 years, last 20 years, because they know they're going to be indoctrinated. And there's this agenda that's going to happen. And it's not just for entertainment's sake. So a lot of people are just hungry. I think there is an enormous market and a hunger for just pure entertainment that leaves us the heck alone somewhere. You know, we can't get away from it, from football, you name it. You've heard this before. Let's get to your article. The Brew: Biden rewrites Title IX, leaving female athletes at schools nationwide in the dust. And of course, flip-flopping on this whole false notion that the left is pro-female. They don't even know what one is. Talk about this article, would you?
Oh my gosh. I mean, they rewrote a law. I learned that was Congress's job. So, but he just, but you
They're
know,
shirking their responsibility.
Eliminates, you know, sex from the Title IX and turns it more into general ideology, which opens the door for the whole mess of, you know, got dudes in locker rooms. You must use pronouns or else. And even though the media keeps saying specifically, oh, it doesn't mention women's sports, it does. That is part of the package.
How does it?
And that's the
danger. Explain
to us. That Title IX will, you know, no, do you want to protest some dude being on the opposing team on a female competition, you're out of luck under these new rules. You can't, you know, too bad. You're the problem, which is, you know, I think most Americans would think is ridiculous if they have daughters who play sports. You know, you're getting the injury factor or the competitive factor, the competition factor. We used to complain when the East Germans would juice up their female athletes. This is the same. This is basically the same thing, except instead of these Germans doing it, it's the president of the United States.
Yeah. So first they introduce this ideology to us and unleash a social contagion about how there's a Heinz 57 genders and that we are somehow compelled to refer to people, whether they're little furries and they're making believe they're animals, or whether they're making believe that they're a different gender or one of the Heinz 57 varieties. Isn't it just a tactic to attack free speech, to attack people of faith, and to use and to institutionalize this bigotry? You know, isn't that what's really going on? Are there really that many true believers in this? Or are there a whole bunch of useful idiots on the bandwagon who are going along with something that will basically, you know, destroy our liberty, all of us?
Well,
except for a couple.
As colleague Tom Gilson used to argue, it might even be bigger than that. There's a denial of reality. There is, you are now your own God. You can shape what you think is forced to become the reality of other people. If you tell me you're a little a fuzzy little animal, I have to accept you're a fuzzy little animal. Okay, great. I'm calling animal control. Well, that's not going to work, right?
Maybe they should have them put in a zoo. Maybe they should have the dog pound pick them up, and then they could be put behind bars or in a jail. You know, and PETA would have to bust them out. I don't know. This is pure insanity.
Free at the zoo, which is not a bad idea. It's not a bad strategy. Well, no, if you're paying really high rents, go pretend you're a bear and be kept at the zoo. You know, then live rent free.
Let me know how that works out for you if they put you in the same pen with the nearest grizzly, right?
Yeah. That'll probably work too well. But I'm not saying these are not bright people. So
Yeah, and it's always the dumbest ones that appoint themselves Lord and Master over the rest of us. Al, you know, we have such short segments here, and I love talking to you. You let something pass, or you just said in passing, just one of the most cogent points that we say regularly, which is they're appointing themselves God, and they're demanding that everybody else live in their reality. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, yeah, again, this is you can look it up. Tom Gilson on the stream, he wrote about this before. When he writes about this subject, he goes really into the deep. You know, like we could deal with the superficial, but this is a deep concept. You are creating your own reality. When you're saying you're denying the body that you've been given, and you're saying I am actually a female when I'm male, and I make you accept it, I'm turning myself into a god.
Isn't it also a profound and fundamental attack on anybody of faith that believes that they're not God in their own universe, and that maybe they should be accountable to something greater than themselves, and not accountable to government?
And getting back to what you were saying before, and maybe that's the whole point. It's not so much the 13-year-old who thinks they've been convinced there's something different. It's the people behind it who are trying to get them to believe that. What do they gain out of it other than the destruction of the fabrics of society?
Yeah,
And that's what you're heading.
Go ahead, finish that. I'm sorry. What'd you say?
I'm saying, and that's what you're heading for when you're destroying lives between males. What are the foundations of society?
This is deliberate.
The nuclear family, male, female, the whole. That's your ultimate target. So you're actually trying to destroy, in a sense, humanity in a way. Not to be too melodramatic about it, but what else is your purpose?
How can you be melodramatic today when we're living in a bad sci-fi movie? I have often thought of this as there's a lot of bandwagoners that are just kind of swallowing this false unreality. And there's a virtually small number of people who are laying out these tactics, expecting people to bite on them, just like fish on a hook. But, you know, we don't have much time, but how do you disabuse people of these realities that they've swallowed? I mean, I've even talked to some pretty smart people who are going along with this insanity, like the trans insanity, the transanity. You know, all of a sudden they believe that there can be a 5-year-old trans person. And how do you even argue with such a person? How do you argue with them? What do you say?
I think you show the damage. You have the people who are lied to, people like Chloe Cole, who I think is, you know, almost like a Rosa Parks or something. Ultimately, the people who've been through it and have been lied to and have been damaged. Show the damage. Show the clips. Show the clips of the person getting the volleyball spiked in their face. Play the Bill Maher clips where he showed the drag queen getting dollar bills stuffed into their thing by 5-year-olds.
And they're 11. And they're 11. 11-year-old drag queens. Al Parada. Yeah. Such important issues. Managing editor of The Stream. How do people find you real quick?
Oh, stream.org. I'm there twice a day now.
Stream. Oh, wow. You are prolific. Yeah. Thank you so much, Al. Good to have you. Hope to talk to you again soon. We will be right back and wrap up the show right after this. Don't go away.
The Department of Transportation's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, or FMCSA, is now accepting applications for 5 federal grant opportunities to enhance commercial motor vehicle safety. By investing in these projects, FMCSA envisions safer highways, reduced crashes, and a more secure transportation system. These grants will also make commercial vehicle driving safer and more efficient, while creating opportunities for our tribal communities, veterans and military families, and others within the trucking industry. Together, we can significantly reduce serious injuries and deaths on our nation's roadways. Prospective applicants are encouraged to learn more about these grant opportunities and how to apply at fmcsa.dot.gov/grants. Applications are due by April 19th. Those within our tribal communities are encouraged to submit applications for these grants. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
The results are in. In a nationwide double-blind taste test, Applebee's Classic Buffalo Boneless Wings reign supreme as America's favorite boneless wings. To celebrate, Applebee's is offering boneless wings for 50 cents each for a limited time, available for dine-in, to-go, or delivery. Head to your neighborhood Applebee's or visit applebees.com or mobile app to celebrate with this unbelievable deal. Price, participation, and selection may vary. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood. Sponsored by Applebee's.
Reports show Florida leads the nation in the sale of illegal disposable vapes from China. Here's former Congresswoman Mary Bono.
Because of inaction from the Biden administration, Florida became the number one state for illegal disposable vapes from China. In response, Florida's state legislature proposed a directory to help law enforcement get these illegal disposable vapes off of store shelves. Contact your legislator today and ask for a vapor products directory in your state.
Sponsored by Communities United for Smart Policy.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year, remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline filling in today, and we're about to wrap up the show with our final guest. Thanks to everyone at the Main Street Radio Network, from Joseph to James to Derek and, of course, Alan and Jane, everybody who makes this show possible. It's a pleasure to be a part of the team. Well, today, or this week, actually, the Supreme Court will hear arguments in a case called City of Grants Pass versus Johnson. It has to do with homelessness and how whether the federal government or local states can make law regarding their own health, safety, and welfare. Another one of those states' rights cases. Here to talk about it is Mark Miller, senior attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation. He was also Governor Kristi Noem's very popular governor in South Dakota, longest serving chief of staff. Mark Miller, thank you so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Always a pleasure to join you, Karen. And you were right. This case was argued today, in fact, the homeless case.
And so it was argued. And of course, it takes what, months to get a determination on what they're going to rule, right?
That's exactly right. You know, we like to, as Supreme Court listeners, like to try and glean what we think the justices might do from their questioning. But ultimately, yes, we won't know probably until the end of June. This case is very contentious and almost 3 hours of argument this morning.
Wow. Well, give us a little thumbnail sketch of this case and this great article you wrote called Supreme Court Can Fix Homeless Crisis That Government Caused. And that was your op-ed for Fox News on this very issue.
Yeah. So the case really boils down to the homeless advocates. And, you know, it really gets at the homeless camps that we're seeing all over the country, especially on the West Coast, but really in every big city. The idea that the homeless somehow have a right to claim public property for their camps or to sleep because they have no choice but to be homeless, that they're like drug addicts. And that's not me saying it because it sounds a little offensive. No, that's their lawyers who's saying that being homeless is no different than being a drug addict. They have no choice but to be homeless or involuntarily homeless. And the Federal Appeals Court on the West Coast, the Ninth Circuit, has bought that argument first in a case called Martin versus City of Boise, and that was about 5 years ago, and then more recently in this Grants Pass versus Johnson case that was argued this morning. The Supreme Court justices granted the case, even though it has some issues. Oftentimes, the Supreme Court doesn't like to take contentious cases that have sort of side issues. Here, there's a lot of side issues, but the problem is so pervasive that I think the justices decided we have to address this. The idea that cities can't arrest or even fine the homeless for building public camps on public property, sidewalks, public parks, because it offends the Eighth Amendment as cruel and unusual punishment. Based on the argument today, I think that a majority of the justices don't buy that. And so they're going to reverse what the Ninth Circuit did.
Mark, this is as simplistic as it gets. And I know there are a lot of side issues, but most people are asking, my beloved hometown of Denver, Colorado, never in a million years would there have been, except that it's happening now, tent cities in downtown Denver. The left is arguing for safe injection sites where they help drug addicts shoot up. And it's pervasive in every city run by Democrats, by radical leftists. The simplistic question is, what about the rights of the public to walk down a street without stepping on drug needles and human feces?
Well, and Karen, you've really nailed it. You know, if states want to choose to elect leaders who are going to somehow put the drug users' rights or the homeless rights above the average American's rights or Coloradans' rights, in that example with Denver, then I suppose states are free to do that. But here, what the Supreme Court is grappling with is the appeals court saying that states don't even have a choice to elect their leaders and what those leaders are going to do. They just simply have to accept that the homeless are going to take over their inner cities. And again, I don't want to sound unsympathetic. There's a lot of reasons why they're homeless. There's drug use, there's alcohol abuse, there's mental illness, and of course, there's the skyrocketing price of housing. That's what my op-ed was about this morning. But at the same time, city officials should be allowed to address the problem. It's a public policy crisis. And the idea that even if we elect leaders who would try and get rid of those camps and help those people, but not through homeless camps, that they can't do that, because of the Constitution, that seems a little ridiculous. And I think ultimately that's what the justices are going to say. They might not use quite that language, but they're going to say there's no constitutional right to public property for sleeping and camping and doing all the things.
There's a constitutional law against that, as far as I know. I don't know about Constitution. But, you know, before we get going, There is a part of this article that you wrote for Fox News that is the other part that I think is key that I don't want to gloss over. Supreme Court can fix homeless crisis, big bold letters, that government caused.
That's exactly
so
right.
You know, key. Yes.
Yes, Karen, that's exactly right. We at Pacific Legal, we really fight for property rights. This case is an outlier because usually we're suing the government. Here, we did support the government lightly. We're not, because the government is the one that created this problem. So we don't want the government to now have to also solve the homeless problem that they created. And what do I mean when I say they created it? They made housing too expensive by restricting the way we can build housing, the environmental rules, all the different regulations, the zoning rules, permitting fees. They make it so expensive to build housing, even starter homes, that some of the homeless can't afford to live. The crisis in housing has paralleled the way we've restricted the ability to use your property. The lack of respect for the Fifth Amendment is what, in part, has led to the housing crisis.
How about that? And also, I mean, couldn't you also add to that, you know, in a former life, I was a social worker. And I used to be friends with somebody in New York City whose whole job was to hand out like peanut butter sandwiches to homeless in New York a couple decades ago. And couldn't you also say that the culture of cruel tolerance, that there are no rules or accountability for people. As a social worker, I understand, too, that people have there are reasons why they're homeless. But really, the deinstitutionalization of mental patients that the left pushed was one. And another is not addressing the addictions directly and instead making it a class issue and, like everything, politicizing it. What do you say?
Karen, I think that's exactly right. It's as simple as a hand up versus a hand out. And that's really what you're getting at, I think. That's what society needs to get back to.
You hear that music, and we didn't even get to talk. I love the Pacific Legal Foundation. Tell everybody they can find you and read this article.
PacificLegal.org. Check me out, Mark Miller, at that website. We're a nonprofit. We fight the government for you. No charge
Thank
for
you.
Our clients.
Thank you, Mark. Well, that does it for this edition of the Ellen Nathan Show. Stay strong, speak out, and I'll see you next time.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.